If you would, turn over in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to begin reading in verse 12. I'm just going to read 12 through 15. Actually, 12 through 14. I don't know why I wrote 15 on there. It's okay. We're just starting another thing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. And what I want to try and talk about a little bit is, I know whom I have believed. Mm-hmm. Now, in order to talk about this, I'm going to have to back up just a little bit, but not too much, because Walter covered some of this last week. I listened to that, Walter. It was a good sermon. Well, you like to know things are going good when you're not here. It's all right. Paul tells Timothy in verse 8, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. In verse 12 he says, for I am not ashamed. Paul was his prisoner. I like that. He wasn't Rome's prisoner, although that's where this letter was supposedly written. Paul was in prison at the time. But Paul wasn't Rome's prisoner. He was the prisoner of his Lord. He was exactly where God wanted him to be at that time. The afflictions of the gospel are according to God's power, not anyone else's. Not the power of anyone else, because there is no other power. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That's verse 8. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us. What? The purpose and the grace was given to us. When? Before the world began. There are countless people in countless places right now. They'll invite people to come up to an altar to get grace. Grace was given before the fountain, before the world began. And grace was the purpose of God for his people. And also, so were afflictions. Paul lists what God has done. Who has saved us? Who hath called us with a holy calling? According to his own purpose and grace, and it was given to us before the world began, was manifested. Very clearly, manifested. Not created. Not produced. It was just made known. That grace purpose was there before the world began, but now it's manifested. Now we get to know it. by his appearing. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality, what's that? To light. Not created. Brought to light. Through the gospel. The good news. Walter covered that ably last week. I don't have to spend any time on it. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles. Don't be ashamed of the testimony. Don't be ashamed. I looked up the word testimony, the evidence given. I like that. Spoken. Given. Spoken. And that is why Paul was in prison.
Right, yeah.
Because of what he said.
Yeah, right.
It used to be against the law to preach the gospel. I'm hoping not anymore. But you never know. Things really don't seem to be getting better and better every day in every way. And I don't know who thinks they are, but somehow or the other, I begin to suspect some mental problems.
Delusion.
Well, either that or they're isolated.
Yeah.
Rid, they turned to a hermit. Rid said, told me one day that we pretty much are hermits. And I am too when I get away with it. But I had to drive to Florida to go see my sister. Oh my, between billboards and advertisements of other kinds and motels and hotels and casinos and God knows what else. Don't get me started on Disney. We spent an hour and a half in Orlando, it seemed like. No parked on the interstate. Because everybody was trying to get out of Disney, and I thought, well, if you hadn't have gone there, you wouldn't have to try to get out. But this world is surrounded by material things, and it loves it. It loves itself. And here I am, going up a bridge this steep, in our car at 70 miles an hour to cross a bay. And I hit that bottom of that bridge, Mason, and my heart went just kind of, this is not right. Now, I have been up on far steeper grades, and I have been up far higher in the air in that same vehicle. But here I am on this concrete monstrosity in the middle of nowhere, and now when I go up that high, I'm usually not doing 70 miles an hour. And I'm on this thing, and I am thinking to myself, this is completely and totally unnatural. And I got to the top and started to go down the other side, and I told Debbie, I looked at her and I said, I miss the mountains. Because I can be up on a mountain by myself or with her. But this thing, this man-made thing, and I know all man-made things break, and I'm driving on it. It's not where I want to be. Even though I am in Christ in that car going up that hill, that man-made hill, that's not where I want to be. That's not how I want to travel. I see sights I don't want to see. But every single one of them has been purposed by God. For them, it's pleasure. For me, that's actually kind of an affliction. But Paul states after he goes here and he lists these things that to Timothy that God has done. not Timothy has done, not I have done, not you have done. This is what God has done. He saved us. He's called us with a holy calling, and it's according to his purpose and his grace. And he's made me a preacher. That's the first thing he is. An apostle to the Gentiles. And teacher to the Gentiles. And then he says this, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He was a prisoner because he was a preacher, a teacher, an apostle to the Gentiles. He was in trouble because of what he had been saying and what he was saying. And Paul wrote this. Suffering is present tense and it's active. They were real sufferings and they were right then. Like I said, it is believed Paul was imprisoned at Rome when he wrote this. But even if it wasn't, if they're wrong about the date, we are told in the New Testament of at least two imprisonments, a few beatings, well, actually more than a few, and one time left dead, or left for dead, outside the walls of a city. The Apostle Paul had been through some stuff. Why? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Second Corinthians 11:23, he wrote, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent. In death oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Now 2 Corinthians, it's agreed generally that Paul wrote that when he was free and traveling. They think he wrote it from Macedonia, Ephesus, before he was in prison at Rome. And I read this, and I thought about this, and Walter, I got to thinking, they don't put that on the back of the brochure for Bob Jones University. They don't put that on the back of the brochure for the Falwell's place in Lynchburg. I can't even think of the name of it. Liberty. Oh, yeah. How can I forget Liberty? Liberty University. They don't put that on the brochure that when you preach the gospel of Christ, this world will hate you. And if they could get away with it, they'd strike us down. I had somebody raise a fist at me, and I wasn't even preaching. I was just talking to people. Now, I was talking to a preacher. I'm pointing at Walter. They will not have this man to reign over them. I know that was a parable spoken by Christ, but those are the words of this world, whether the world knows it or not. They will not have this man who hath saved us, who hath called us with a holy calling, who has appointed our afflictions. They won't have that man to reign over them. Paul's sufferings that he had endured and was enduring at this time were because of the preaching of the gospel, were because of the testimony of our Lord. That's what he told Timothy. The truth of God in the face of Jesus Christ is opposed. It is the truth proclaimed that is hated and opposed. The lie is loved. The lie is love. It is cherished and it is esteemed, and they will build monstrosities of crystal cathedrals to the lie. I've seen them on TV. They'll fill stadiums. This lie is loved and cherished and esteemed by the world. Why? I can't help but hear baby and think about Earl. I can preach over that baby. And he could. The world will hear the lie. The truth is hated and opposed and despised because the world will not hear us. And so are the men who preach it. Christ stated, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. John stated in 1 John 3:13, said, marvel not, my brethren, marvel not if the world hates you. But we can never forget, hopefully I'll never forget, what Paul already told Timothy, that his sufferings were according to the power of God.
Right.
Now, what do I mean by that? I mean exactly what Paul wrote here. It takes the power of God to afflict a child of God. It does. All throughout this book, and it is affliction, present tense, action. Happening now. Satan told God that he had a hedge around Job and his children and his stuff, his property. You, as a child of God, cannot be touched unless God allows it. Oh, that devil, he's after me. Well, usually not. Usually it's your flesh. If you really want to know the truth of it, you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. But people don't want to admit that. And people sure don't preach that. See, because they want to be important. See, it's not even, oh my goodness, I'm being afflicted by a minor devil of the third level of hell or whatever it is. The way they talk about it now. No, it's always Satan that's after me. Trust me, we're not that important to Satan. And if you are a child of God, not the minorest demon in hell, not any fallen angel can touch you without God's explicit permission. Jesus said, I chose you 12, and one of you was a devil, an accuser. Paul wrote, Walter read it last week, I was listening to it coming up the road this morning, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No one. God justifies. No condemnation ever. But there's always intercession by God for my faults, for my sins. The very hairs on your head are numbered. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd and completely, perfectly, and totally cares for every one of his sheep. You're in his fold if he's brought you in. There are those that are not in. Them I must bring. But if you're in his fold, you're in his fold. And if you're in his fold, you're in his care. And if he's caring for you, you will suffer affliction. Romans 5 puts it this way, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith to this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. There is a purpose for the afflictions by the power of God. And it's for your good, and it's for His glory. And it's for your good, and it's for His glory. And patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh, what? Not ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We go by faith to peace, to this grace, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, to tribulation. What's wrong with us? People think we're crazy because we talk about stuff like this. In this, there's absolutely nothing wrong with us. Because believers know, having been told, that being troubled, going through tribulation, having afflictions, is good for us. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it come to pass, and ye know. These things, that was 1 Thessalonians 3 and 4, John 16, verse 33, Christ spoke. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I know people don't like it, and I know people don't teach it because of the rest of what it says. But tribulation is one of those all things that work together for good. To them that love God, those that are what? The called according to His purpose. His purpose. Paul says, I am not ashamed. And that word ashamed is also in the present tense. And I like how he says this. Paul makes this specific and personal. There's a lot of places where Paul speaks in the plural. We know this. We love. Because we are loved. We are here. We are there. Us. But here, Paul is taking this, and this is an individual thing. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. This is not a group project, even though we are all together in it. Because in verse 10, 1 Timothy verse 1, excuse me, chapter 1 and verse 8, he uses it, we know the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. We know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. He knows by the Spirit of God when to use the plural and when to use the singular. And this right here is singular and specific. He is highly and totally, completely personalizing this statement for himself. But it is for every believer. But it is individual. He tells Timothy, don't be ashamed. And then he says, for I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. Paul knew Christ. And Paul knew our salvation. And I use it that way. Our salvation. In this case, his salvation from beginning to end, from Alpha to Omega, his salvation is in a person. The person of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is not in doctrine. Even though Paul believed doctrine, Paul taught doctrine. Paul wrote doctrine. But when it comes down to it, deep down in yourself, do you know whom you have believed? Paul says, I know whom I have. He's wrote many letters about him. He's preached in many different places, traveled many miles. He's in prison right now because he knows whom he has believed. Paul knew the one who had been prophesied. Paul knew the one who had come. And Paul knew the one who was coming again. He knew the seed of a woman that was going to bruise the serpent's head. He knew the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He knew Emmanuel, God with us. He knew the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He knew the Messiah, the Anointed One. Paul knew the one who was born king. That was the question those wise men asked. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And I'm sorry, I hate to put it this way, but they were called wise men for a reason. There was one born king. And Paul knew him. The Christ, the Son of the living God, the Lord who revealed himself to Paul and spoke to him and blinded him on the road to Damascus. Paul says, I know him. I know whom I have believed. This is where it comes down to. When you're all alone, in your heart of hearts, in your innermost being, do you know him? Do you know him? You can use any cliche you want, when the chips are down, when the rubber meets the road, whatever. Do you know whom you have believed? Paul says, I know. And this question needs to be answered by each and every single one of us individually. This is not something I can do for you. This is not something you can do for me. It is intensely and totally and completely personal. It is singular. It is individual. I have to answer this question. And so do you. No one can do it for you. No one can do it for me. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Paul wrote, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. If you know whom you have believed, and it's the same one,
that Christ preached, that Christ spoke of when he was here himself, that Paul preached and wrote of in this book from cover to cover, is the Christ of God. But if you know that one, there is a commitment. And it starts with a gift of the Holy Ghost. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Paul writes of his departure. Paul writes of his departure in this book, chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought. I have finished. I have kept not my works, not my law, not the law. I haven't kept my righteousnesses. They're still filthy rags in the sight of God. I have kept the faith that God gave me. That good thing which was given thee by the Holy Ghost. Keep by the Holy Ghost. I have been kept by the power of God through faith, is the way Peter writes it. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. There's a commitment both ways. It starts from God. He gives it to you, and then he fixes it so that you keep it. Because you won't. I won't. I won't. I haven't. But he has. Why? Because he is able to keep that which I've committed to him. This is where Paul put this down. I know whom I have believed. Do you know whom you have believed? Do you know the one Matthew preached, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, Earl, Walter? Do you know the one whom they have preached, the Christ of God, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords? Because if you know him, Christ has made some promises to you. Christ has made promises, and all his promises are yea and amen. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Sometimes I think the world does know that, And that's when the hatred flares up. But we have been given these great and precious promises of life and of faith and of love, and it all comes from Him whom I have believed. This is where it comes down to. I've been thinking about death. Not mine own, but others. You know where I've been, and you know, you spend time in hospitals, and I'm in a cancer ward. And you wonder, and you never know. I can't know anyone else's heart. I can know, by His grace, whom I have believed. And the only thing I can say to that is, comfort ye, my people, with these words. Do you know whom you have believed? And is He able to keep that which you've committed unto Him? Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place, but most of all for Your Son, our Lord, who has given us everything and is giving us everything. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Joe.